Access number 27499, Mr. Pete Neville, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time with the Home Guard, really, now between 1940 and 1942. Mm. And you've got some other stories that sort of give us a flavour of life, you know, with them. Could you tell us some more stories?
Well, the Major lived in a house near Canoe Lake. And on one evening, I had a few fellas, and we had to guard the place because we had rifles and things like that there, you know. Well, there was an air raid, and some unexploded bombs landed, and the police were rushing round saying, "Get out, get out." And the Major said, "We can't. We've got an armoury here. We can't move." So we didn't. But I'd just posted one of the lads at the gate. I left a room, went along a passage, down a right angle passage, down some steps to the gate. On the way back, I got to the top of the gate when one of the bombs landed. It blew me along the passage, round the corner, back into the room I'd just come out of. I wasn't hurt at all, but I was deaf as, you know, for quite a long time. And all hell let loose from where the Major lived, and it seemed that all the soot from his chimney had come down into his room, and he was yelling, and he wanted us to clear it up, so we left it to him. You know, we weren't going to clear it up for him. He had to do it himself. That was one thing.
Any others?
And another occasion was he decided he'd go for a walk along the seafront, and he went along with the captain, and they dragged me along as well. And we were walking along the seafront when a German bomber came over, quite low, dropped its incendiary bombs by the pier. That was quite picturesque too. And also firing a machine gun. And we jumped over a wall, didn't realise how far it was, and we must have dropped about 8 feet. Well, we landed, the captain lost his glasses, he couldn't find them, and the Major lost his swagger stick, so we couldn't find either, so I went back when it got light and found both of them, but that was a funny incident, really.
Mm. Any others? And that was near South Sea Pier, was it?
Yeah, South Sea Pier, yeah. There must have been other incidents, I just can't remember.
Now, so what happens next then? You're in the Home Guard, working as a dockyard apprentice, you're in a reserved occupation.
Yeah.
So how'd you get out of that and get into the RAF? Well, because you're not supposed to.
No. I thought I'd... Sorry.
All right.
I thought I wasn't... I could do a lot better than I was doing. Also, friends of mine being killed by bombers over Portsmouth. And I thought, well, you know, I can do... I'd like to have a go at these buggers. And so I had to get permission to join the volunteer for the Air Force. So I was to join Royal Air Force Volunteer Reserve. I had to get permission to do that. It's rather funny. Before I joined, I had to put in a letter, "Sir, I may be, you know," and I had to ask permission to join the Air Force during the length of the war, whatever it was. Anyway, I went to Oxford.
Now, hang on. How did you... So, that was September 1942? and you were accepted for the RAF Volunteer Reserve, was it?
In about August 1942, I was accepted.
And did you have any tests or anything? Any tests?
Oh yeah, you got a little maths, arithmetic and English examination, and of course 2 days medical. It really went to town on that.
What do you remember of that? How strict was it?
Very strict. For one thing, they put you in a chair and spun you around, and then you had to. They'd test your reactions and things like that, you know. Also, sight and colour and just about every medical aspect was checked. Yeah,
and you came through that.
Oh yeah, I was okay.
So what happened then? What was you were accepted?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well,
what was your first posting?
Oh no,
Training post. You know.
Well, actually, I had to go back to work to the dockyard until they called for me, and eventually they called me in September. And in September. I went to Lord's Cricket Ground with hundreds of others.
That's the RAF Reception Centre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, what happened when you went there? Because you arrive as a civilian, don't you? I mean, and what? How did they process you, kick you out, sort you out, and get you all ready?
Yeah, well, you were in civvies, and we were put into billets. The billets were very expensive flats that had been stripped out, you know.
What, surrounding Lourdes? Nearby Lourdes?
No, near the zoo, actually. Some people are in houses in the zoo. Yeah.
What were the billets like?
Very good. There were about 4 people to each room. Scrubbed and high polished by ourselves, of course, every day.
And what about kitting out?
Well, eventually we went along and we were kitted out with our uniforms and various other parts of equipment.
Do you remember what you got?
Well, yeah. The uniform, gas capes and things like that, you know. And you put the uniform on, and then the next day you were inspected. And when a tailor went along with a piece of chalk and scribbled on you here and there, and then they took the uniform away, and it was they worked on until it was your size, you know.
What else did you get given? That's your uniform. What else did you get given?
Bed layouts and things like that, you know, the keep the rooms clean and highly polished, etc. Oh, and drills, of course, drill and PT. Not very much PT, but a lot of drill in the roads, marching up and down.
How did you take to drill?
Easy. Very easy. I've been in the Home Guard, and that was easy. Another thing, I found it easy compared. See, a lot of the people I joined with were. from public school boys and that sort of thing. Well, they weren't used to the sort of life that I'd left, you know, because getting out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning was nothing to me. It was like having a lay-in, because I'd normally get up at 5:30 every morning to go to work. Also, when I went to work, I'd get on my bike, you know, and ride through the snow and the rain and what have you, and the cold. And I didn't have to do that after all, you know. I just out of bed at 6 o'clock, washed and shaved and cleaned myself up and cleaned the room and etc. And then we went on parade about 8 o'clock in the morning. So life was easy. I found it so easy.
And you didn't mind the discipline?
No, not at all.
Used to it?
Yeah.
But how did you get on with the other lads?
Oh, quite well. Okay. Because some of them, you know, you could say they weren't completely useless, but they just didn't know how to. I mean, for one thing, they didn't know how to clean their boots or anything like that. You know, they'd say, "Well, how do you do this, Neville?" You know, and Neville used to say to himself, "Well, you twit," like this, you know. And I got on quite well with them. I didn't speak with them plumb in the mouth, as many of them did, but I got on very well with them.
And how long were you at Lourdes, at the RAF reception centre?
3 weeks.
Still September into October?
Yeah.
And anything else you were doing, or was it just drill and PT?
In London, I just mainly drill and that's right, that sort of thing.
So where did you go next?
Brighton.
And what was that unit called?
Aircrew Dispersal Centre. Aircrew Dispersal Wing. ACDW. And we were billeted in the Metropole Hotel, or also the Grand.
And what were these hotel billets like? Comfortable?
Yeah, about 4 to a room. Usual thing. Spick and span, clean by us, etc. That sort of thing. Well, there we started going back to school. There, mainly for arithmetic. Plenty of drill and plenty
of... Now, tell me about the maths. What were you learning maths for,
Not maths, arithmetic.
Arithmetic.
Well, because later on you had to do navigation and that sort of thing, you know, which contains a certain amount of arithmetic, I see.
Any other lectures? Did they actually start you on navigation or signals or anything like that?
No, not at Brighton.
So just basic arithmetic?
Mainly basic arithmetic. You had other arithmetic exams. And when you got through that, you went to...
Anything else you were doing at Brighton?
At Brighton. Well, one thing I did, I was in the Grand for 3 weeks. And I went to breakfast one morning and had a nasty tasting sausage. And I got some sort of food poisoning. So instead of being posted the next day away, I had to stay there. So I had to stay another 3 weeks. And for that I went into the Metropole. Still went to the classes, even though I'd passed the, you know. I couldn't go be posted by myself. I had to be posted with other people.
How bad was the food poisoning? I mean, did it last long? Was it just
No, it was just a bit of diarrhoea, sickness, that's all.
Just the wrong time.
Yeah. Mm.
But you weren't doing any aircraft recognition or anything at Brighton?
Not in Brighton, no.
So where was it? So that was October, November? Or would it go into December?
I don't know. Probably around about October. End of October, beginning of November, something like that. I just can't remember.
All right. So where'd you go next?
initial training wing at Scarborough.
Do you know what number it is?
Yeah, number 7. No, 10. 10. Sorry, 10 RTW. Yeah, no, number 10.
Number 10.
Yeah, and we were in the Grand Hotel again, another Grand Hotel. Now, there was when we went back to school there. Apart from drill and PT and plenty of it, we started to learn navigation, meteorology, engines, signals, aircraft reconnection,
Well, let's go through some of them. What about navigation? What were you learning about navigation?
It was just basic navigation, that's all, really. It was how to get from A to B, taking in consideration the wind and...
drift, you mean?
Yeah, drift and that sort of thing, yeah, that's it.
So that's navigation. What about signals or wireless? Were you learning any?
Well, signals was Morse. You know, did it.
Now, how good did you have to get at that? I mean, or were they just training everyone to a simple level?
I can't remember exactly how much, but.
Was it just Morse you were doing in the signals line?
Yeah, just Morse, that's all. Yeah. And of course, meteorology, that was about clouds constellations, you know, stars and all that sort of thing. Aircraft recognition, of course.
Now, how did you do that? I mean, how did they actually train you in aircraft recognition?
By photographs and pictures and things like that, mainly.
They hadn't got a room fixed out yet with sort of the flu seemed to fly across.
No, nothing like that, no. Engines.
How far did you go into the engines?
Just the basic power and all that sort of thing, you know, engine. They had an air engine broken down, you know, we learned bits of that. An armament.
And what armament?
Well, usually it was 303 machine gun, the type of thing that were fitted into the wings of aircraft. We broke those down, you know, and learned the parts of that.
Would that be the Browning?
Browning 303, yeah.
Anything else? Any other armaments or types of guns or turrets or anything?
We didn't have any rifles or anything like that. Never had rifles at all.
How tough was this fitness training? I mean, you know, how fit were you and how tough was the fitness training?
Oh, absolutely. Perfectly fit. Wonderful. Yeah, we were.
What sort of PT were you doing, physical training? Was it running or assault course? What were you actually doing?
Well, exercises mainly on the beach. You know, on the sand and in the cold. Oh, one thing also, for a while we were doing we had to go in the sea with May Wests on and get into dinghies and get out of them and that sort of thing. Well, we did that for a while, but it was so flaming cold that people didn't get cold, they got pleurisy and that sort of thing. So the medical chap stopped that. So instead, we then went into a bath. You know, that was too cold in there. So we ended up mainly in the gymnasium. Yeah. That's where we did most of our.
And how long were you at Scarborough?
16 weeks.
So to about March 43, I mean, do you remember when? Or would it be February?
One minute, where are we?
Scarborough.
December. April. March or April, I can't, something like that.
And what happened then? Was it a sort of test or passing out, you know?
Oh yeah, you passed out. If you passed out, you became a leading air craftsman.
And did you pass out?
Ah, yes. One thing I've forgotten to tell you. We had medical examinations all the time. And they discovered that I had most unusually good night vision. And so they decided that if I got through as pilot, I would go into night fighters, which is what I wanted to do. So when we passed out, when we finished, whereas the others went away and waited to go overseas for their training, I went to do my I did all my training in Scotland.
Well, these were all just general air crew. You were being trained in everything,
yeah.
And then most of them would go through pilot training, and those that passed would be pilots, and those that didn't would be the rest of navigators.
It was either pilot or navigator, mainly.
And you were going to be assigned to night fighters because this night vision. How did they test that?
In a dark room with a chain on your neck so you couldn't I can't exactly remember. Gave you a board, had to write what you saw, you know, in the not completely dark, nobody could see in pitch dark, very dark. And I got 100% every time. And they started testing me in other ways as well. They tested my night vision in now, all sorts of ways. I can't remember exactly how. Well,
a long time ago. So where were you, about March, April 43, mm. Where were you sent then? You were sent to Scotland. Whereabouts in Scotland? To what war? Yeah. This is for your pilot training, wasn't it?
Yeah. Scoon.
Scoon. How do you spell that? Is that
Scone? I think Scoon. Yeah.
Where's it near?
Near Perth. Perth.
Near Perth.
I think. I think so. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
And do you know what number it was?
No, I can't remember.
Was it just a flying training wing, or?
I did all my my training around that area, all different parts of the training. You know, you start off originally in. You still go back to school, but you do flying training as well, in the winter, very cold. We had to clear the snow off every time we wanted to take off.
Now, what were you doing indoors on the ground? I mean, what were they training you on there? We'll come to the flying training there, but what were you getting lectures and lessons about?
Oh, we still went back to navigation and met and that sort of thing, you know. All the sort of stuff that we would have to use.
Was it getting any more sophisticated, or was it still fairly simple stuff?
Fairly simple stuff, yeah.
Just getting it through.
Mm. Oh, I learned a hell of a lot about
it's all right.
You You see, I would have been flying at night all the time. So you need to use the
stars.
No, the dials.
Oh, instrument flying.
Instruments, I beg your pardon, yeah.
It's all right.
Instruments. A lot of that. A hell of a lot.
Now, what does that mean? You're learning the instrument flying on the ground before you took off. You're learning the instruments.
Yeah, and also sitting in the mock aircraft, you know, and taking off, landing, and mock aircraft, you know.
What was that like? The simulated.
Yeah, that's right. Well, at first it made your hair stand on him, first of all, you know.
Why?
Well, I'd never done it before, you know. I'd never sat in a cockpit of any aircraft, and it was like, yeah. So we did a lot of that.
How realistic was it?
Very realistic. It was quite realistic. Mm.
So it had all the controls. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
And how did you get the... Was it a film running?
No film or anything like that. It was just... difficult to remember.
It's all right.
Very difficult to remember. It's such a long time.
So what about your actual flying training? How did they start you on that? With what aircraft?
The old Tiger Moth. Wonderful Tiger Moth.
So how did dual training work on the...
You start with an instructor first of all, and then eventually when he thinks that you're good enough, he said
tell me about the dual training first. How did that work? What would he take you through?
Well, I mean, he was talking to you all the time through your headphones, telling you how to do this and how to do that, and if you started doing things wrong, he'd tell you pretty quickly too.
Would he let you take over? I mean, it was dual control.
Oh yes, yeah, a lot of that. Take over a lot.
And how did you find it first time on dual control?
Not too bad at all, for some reason or other. I don't know. I took to it pretty easily.
You think you're a natural?
I don't know what there is by natural. It is unnatural, isn't it?
So you didn't have much dual flying before you put on solo?
I did about 8 hours with him. And he'd get out and say, well, it's yours.